Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco, and each week we address relevant topics for women to spark your career and life growth. As we get started here, let me give you a few housekeeping tips, items first, and then we'll go on. First of all, if you know of others who can use this mentoring show for women, please let them know about today's Inspiring Women. Second of all, I love getting the notes that the show has really helped you out. So keep those emails coming. I really appreciate it. Third, I got a question from a listener that wanted to know if they can get those quotes and actions that I give you at the end of every show during the week. The answer is yes, you can. If you'll email me, deanne@deannedemarco.com, I will give you a link and you can decide if you want those quotes daily or a couple times during the week. So yes, and they are free, so you can get those. Next is if you are looking for a keynote speaker, don't forget me. Just email me, deanne@deannedemarco.com, and put speaker on the subject line. Lastly, I'd like to thank the UPS Store, who is our sponsor for this show. And without them, we wouldn't be able to put this show on. And from printing and mailbox solutions to packaging and shipping, the UPS Store is your helpful neighborhood small business resource center. And I use them a lot. I love the UPS Store. Well, I am very excited to introduce you to our guest today. We have a unemployed single mother and a former IRS agent who both turned their lives around and became entrepreneurs and now own mega businesses. And I am anxious to introduce you to our guest. Our first guest is, you probably know her by her product, Cookies by Design. I have been a customer of Cookies by Design for years. In 1983, Gwen Wilhite-Gillum suddenly found herself an unemployed single mother. With time to think, this creative and motivated woman combined two traditional gifts, flowers and sweets, and turned them into a deliciously clever concept, the cookie bouquet. Her edible bouquets of custom-shaped and hand-decorated sugar and cinnamon brown sugar cookies on sticks were cleverly arranged in baskets as tasteful gifts for any occasion. Gift givers quickly embraced the new idea, and Gwen's budding enterprise soon outgrew her own home kitchen. The newly successful entrepreneur moved to a location nearby, which is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Then in 1986, when things really picked up, Gwen moved her business to Dallas, Texas. After the Dallas business was established, Gwen turned her attention to the numerous requests from others wishing to start their own cookie bouquet franchise. And the first franchise, a cookie bouquet location, opened in 1987, and the momentum hasn't stopped. To better reflect all of the creative and unique and customized products sold, the Cookie Bouquet location changed their name to Cookies by Design. And in 2004, now 30 years later, 100 Cookie by Design locations operate across the United States. What a success story. Gwen, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I mean, I was so excited. You know, I was sending out my yearly Cookies by Design bouquets to my kids because it's their birthdays. Mm-hmm. And I went, I wonder who owns this. And when I went on the website to order my cookies, it said 30 years in business. And I looked a little bit more and I went, dang, Nibbit, I got to have that woman on my show.
Oh, great.
You know, so Gwen, tell us a little bit more about about your story and how you really got started with Cookies by Design.
Well, I was really fortunate to have this idea, and I turned an idea into a concept that has really, really flourished. And of course, in the beginning, the only place I'd seen this was in my mind. So my first cookies didn't look like the ones that you're sending out now. They were basically round cookies on a stick that I decorated with M&Ms and chocolate chips and you know, gumdrops, things like that.
Uh-huh.
But they were arranged the same, and it was the same concept of edible bouquet.
An edible bouquet. How clever. So were these your original recipes your own, or?
And they were my own. I developed them with the help of my taster, my German Shepherd. And I figured out he wasn't real good. He'd eat anything. But it was really important for me to have a product that tasted as good as it looked. And I've seen really attractive, delicious-looking things that didn't live up to their looks.
Sure.
And so I've had lots of people tell me that mine look better or taste better than they look even.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud of that.
Yeah. You know, in those early days, how did you go about growing your business?
Well, I gave my product away. I didn't have any money except to go buy flour and the ingredients for the cookies and those mm-hmm. basic things. So I just started delivering them to first people that I knew, and mm-hmm. then I'd look in the paper for someone that got an award or something like that, and sometimes just wing it. But I just gave my product away, and I gave them my business card, and my phone started ringing.
I'll be darned. So you started out with people you knew, and then you just kind of scanned the newspapers to see who in the area mm-hmm. could use a cookie bouquet.
Yes, I did. And the hospitals were really someplace that you could always take a cookie bouquet to the nurse's station and say, I know someone needs this.
Oh.
And so that was a good marketing, and it made me feel good, too, to brighten somebody's day that needed a lift.
What a clever idea. So in those early days, what were some of those early lessons in starting a business?
You really need to have a plan, and I had a basic plan, but in retrospect, it was just rather a skeleton. But mm-hmm. I met my goals and exceeded them anyway. The product grew organically. It was the power of the product. And you can work really hard. And if someone isn't interested in buying what you're producing, you're just wasting your time. And I was really fortunate enough that for a long time, I had more buyers than I could produce.
So if people are not willing to buy your product,
you may
need to rethink it.
Yeah, you really do. You really need to rethink it. And
so it sounds like even those early days when you say you have a plan, it sounds like you had a plan, which you had at least some sales goals.
I did, and I tried to make my product, my presentation, better all the time. And
so,
I did.
So you continually improved. How did you know what to improve?
I didn't. Okay, the first cookies, they didn't even have a message on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to write happy birthday and get mm-hmm. well soon with icing. And I was artsy craftsy, so it was just came natural to take it to the next level with shapes and more colors and themes and always the personalization. I think one of the most powerful things about the product is our ability to personalize it, whether it's just a name for a happy birthday or for, you know, if it's someone that likes horses, we can do horses, cars, mix it up. The personalization is really important
mm-hmm.
and in this gifting business.
So some of those early lessons, so would you have made, you know, if you had to redo this over again, would you have a different kind of plan?
Well, let's see. I would plan not to have a little car wreck with my Valentine cookies in my car.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think the fact that I didn't have money to do things that may have been a mistake, you know, when you're just going from hand to mouth, basically, you know, step, 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 and the step is obvious, I think you make less mistakes. And I don't know whether I can't say that I'd change anything. I worked a lot of hours, and it never occurred to me to quit. Maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning or something, it occurred to me. But by the time 6 o'clock came, I was ready to go make more cookies.
You know, so I heard three important things: is one, have some sort of plan; two, be willing to take those baby steps.
Yes.
And maybe not grow so quickly. And be willing to work hard.
Yes, you need
to be willing
to
work long hours.
Long hours, and be devoted to what you're doing. If you start a business, you really need to look down the road to see where you want to take it. Is this something you really want to do? Is it worth it? Lots of questions you need to ask yourself.
So when you're still a young company, what were some of the obstacles that you faced early on?
Mostly it was financial and organizational. When you start, you know, I was doing everything myself, and when I started hiring people and training them to do what I did, I think it's pretty common for someone that does something hands-on to think they do it better than anyone, and no one can do it as well as they can and do it themselves. And that's a really a killer for growth. I mean, you have to learn to really train and to delegate.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to turn loose of your baby. They're not going to kill it. They may bruise it up a little bit, but as long as you're in charge, but you can't grow if you hold the concept or whatever you're doing so close that you think you're the only one that can produce something.
So it sounds like you had to have a really good training program.
I did. And my training program was basically, in the first place, showing people what to do, what I was doing, and what, you know, just working them through it. I had very little, had no manuals or anything. I just made notes and drew little pictures and that kind of thing. It was years before I really had good manuals.
Mm-hmm. And then they just trusted it when you delegated. So did you start out with having many people make these bouquets then in your kitchen? Is that how that started?
No, no one was working for me when I was in my kitchen. I was in my kitchen a short time because that was well, it was against the law, basically, to sell out of your kitchen
unless
it was
well, that's
certified.
A thing to know.
And I really didn't want to confine myself to the house and the kitchen because I had an idea that if you don't leave the house, you're not really working.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted a designated place that had everything I needed there, a certain look, and that kind of thing. So in my head, that was work.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't where I could go sit down and watch a soap opera.
Sure, sure. And you're not as distracted as well.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we need to take a quick break here. We come back, I want to talk a little bit more about how you grew your business and how the franchise world started for you.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to take a quick break. This is Deanne DeMarco of Today's Inspiring Women. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com for more information.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we are speaking to the owner of Cookies by Design, one of my favorite stores. And Gwen, you know, you were talking about those early days and how you got started. So did you, you know, after it was clear that you were going to have to move out of your house and get a kitchen, did you just open up a kitchen or did you rent a kitchen?
How
did
you, I rented a small building and put a very basic kitchen in, just the things I needed. You know, an oven, a sink, you know, just the really, really basic things. And as I, the business became more successful, I would add another piece of equipment. And I always look for good used equipment and was pretty frugal on that for a lot of reasons, but I think that makes more sense anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, it generated its own money.
Mm-hmm. So did you have any coaches or mentors along the way so you knew what to do or what the next steps were?
Not really. I think basically growing up with the patriarch of our family is my maternal grandfather, and he always said that his family shouldn't work for other people. And here in the Ozarks, he carved out a lot of basic things. And my aunt had a very successful business. My mom did, and I have a cousin that's really successful.
So did you network with them as far as what you should do, or did you already know from there?
I did to a point, but I think they had already instilled things in me that
So you had learned them when you're younger.
Yes, it was be responsible for your own, you know, for your actions, basically, and work hard and be honest about it and just keep trying. So I think that just how I was raised made a lot of difference.
Interesting. So now you have over 100, 30 years later, you now have over 100 franchises across the United States.
Yes.
How did you, I mean, obviously you didn't start the idea thinking you're going to have franchises. So when did that come about?
Well, people kept coming to me and wanting me to share the concept with them and to form a franchise. And that was really a huge step, and there were some missteps in there because there's a lot of legal and very expensive contracts that you need. And I started out with a very basic contract, and some of it worked. The people still are in the business, and some of it cost me because I didn't have a disclosure statement. I didn't have this, and I didn't have that. But anyway, I'm muddled through it and got the franchise attorneys and I could afford it by then.
Mm-hmm. So one of the lessons there is before you go into the franchise world, make sure get yourself a good attorney.
Yeah, get a franchise attorney, not just an attorney.
so he knows the person knows what they're doing.
Franchises are the most regulated industry in this country.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And my little contract that I started out with, it said the same basic things that about a pound of paper says now.
Wow.
So
in the end, that's worked out well for you, though.
It has. It has. And we've opened some and closed some, just like all franchises. Mm-hmm. But we've had some really successful people, and it's been. I've learned from every franchisee that I have, so that was franchising is almost a partnership. Well, it's not a partnership, but it has a lot of the advantages and the disadvantages too, but. You know, the more people that are doing something, the more you learn and the quicker things develop for the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, So is a franchise for someone who maybe wants to be an entrepreneur and they don't have the creativity to start something new on their own. So would a franchise be a good opportunity for them?
It really would, because someone else has done, you know, the really hard back-breaking development of the product, and it's there for you. The information is there for the possibility of a successful business.
And proof of concept.
Proof of concept, and someone to support you and answer your questions and listen to you. And so, yes, I think franchising is a good thing for it's the next thing to starting your own business.
Because you still have to run that business yourself.
You certainly do. You're still the independent owner of that business.
Yeah, so I would think that would be, you know, you still have hiring decisions and all the. So with the franchises, you're literally turning over your cookie recipe.
We are. And that's what that pound of paper protects us to with the intellectual properties.
Wow. I mean, that had to be really hard for you in the real beginning.
It really did. But I knew that if I was ever going to get out of the kitchen myself, I had to delegate, let go of things. And one of the things was other people in other cities having my recipes and doing my concept.
Wow. So what advice would you have for new entrepreneurs who are just starting out in their entrepreneurial career? What would be some advice that you would give them?
Well, you need to first decide what you want and what you're willing to sacrifice in the end to get that. Different people have different ideas. Some would want to start a business at home. Some want financial success, someone with a creative outlook. But make a plan and share the plan with an experienced business person. And don't let them poo-poo you. Oh, if you really believe in it, talk to someone else or just trust yourself. But you do have to have a plan. You have to, you know, you need to know where you're going with this. And keep it as simple as possible. And when you start hiring, except for just production and things that are rote, that are repeated, hire your weaknesses. You know, I'm not an accountant. I'm not a computer person. And so I hire those people and delegate. And you don't have to be the smartest person in the room, but you do need to be the leader in the room.
Need to be the leader.
So,
I'm writing this.
You need to be able to visualize a path of where you're going, and something out there at the end of that path is where you're going. And then you get to that place in the path, and then there's something else out there. I mean, you know, the internet didn't exist when I started this business. And now more than half of our business is online.
Yeah, sure, it's all online.
And we spend a tremendous amount of money to keep that website as profitable and as user-friendly as we possibly can.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, tell us about Cookies by Design.
Okay. Cookies by Design is a wonderful gift. We make delicious cookies in all shapes, and I think one of the most attractive things about our product is that it can be customized for the giver to really send something special to the recipient, the person they're sending that to. They can really send them a personal, delicious message with our product, with our cookie bouquets.
And you have you also have the different is it football? That you
put
the different football logos on.
Yes, we have. We do a lot of the sports team logos with edible images of the exact replica of the team logo, and then surround it with our other cookies that tie it in.
You know, one of the things I was really impressed with when I was ordering cookies this year is I always order some of the decorative cookies, you know, for my kids. And then I always include like an extra box of cookies that go along with it so they can pass them out to people in the office. And one of the things I thought was really good is in both cases, now this one was in Wisconsin and one was in Texas, so there were two different locations, right? And in both cases, the person taking the order said, "Do you want those cookies with nuts, without nuts?" And I went, well, that's kind of a nice request. You know, I had to stop and think, I don't know, can they have nuts or can they not have nuts?
I thought that was really nice. It says if they like nuts or they don't like nuts, because we don't make any claims, because the nuts, you know, it's all made in the same kitchen.
Sure.
So if you really want to stay away from an allergy, you have to have a kitchen that you don't use peanut butter or nuts and things in. So it's right. More of what they like rather than what they can eat. But now we do have something that is really a growing concern, is gluten products. And so we have a wonderful gluten-free cookies and the good gluten-free cookie bouquets too. So that's been something important that we've developed and added last year.
Well, I didn't realize that. And people can find these like I did, just go to Cookies by Design.
Yeah,
online.
Go to cookiesbydesign.com, and it's a lot of the it's the celiac is what the disease is called, or the I don't guess it's a disease, but the reaction to gluten.
Right.
And so hospitals and a lot of places, this is really important.
All right. Well, anyway, I can attest to Cookies by Design. I have never had a disappointed anyone I have sent my cookies by design to. And I've sent them at least 2-3 times a year to different folks all over the country.
That's really good to hear because...
Yeah.
You know, we have really good people that are so dedicated to this business and to pleasing our customers. Our customer service is our most important goal. Quality
yeah.
product and customer service.
Yeah, and I can give you a plug on that one. You know, Gwen, our time is up, and I would like to thank you so much for being on
you.
Today's Inspiring
and,
Women.
And may I say one more thing? We have... Cupcakes by Design, too, now that are hand-delivered.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So this is something new. But
Oh.
So
Cupcakes by Design. I'll have to look that one up. I didn't see that one on the website. I'll have to look that up. All right. Well, Gwen, again, thank you very much for being on today's show.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it so much.
Well, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to our former IRS agent and how she has made it big into a new line of work. Stay tuned. This is Deanne DeMarco, today's Inspiring Women.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com for more information.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and I am excited to introduce you to another very successful entrepreneur. Kelly Epperson of Birth That Book and is award-winning author, speaker, teacher, and coach. She has written over 25 books, including some for New York Times best-selling authors, one that sold 3 million copies, in fact. She has been writing a weekly newspaper column since May of 2020. 2001 and is a judge for the National Emma Bombeck Essay Contest. As a former IRS agent, now an agent of joy, Kelly keeps people helps people fulfill their dreams of becoming an author. She has the word joy tattooed on her wrist and is the founder of the Happiness Club here in Illinois, a nonprofit community service meeting to teach women how to live healthier, wealthier, and happier. Kelly was nominated for YWCA's Mentorship Award for having a major impact on personal and professional development of women and for teaching, guiding, and inspiring women in ways that have changed their lives. Kelly, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you very much, Deanne. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so how did you get from being an IRS agent into what you're doing now? And tell us a little bit about that journey.
I know people love hearing that, you know, a quote, joyful person used to work at the IRS, so that has become something that people are always asking me about. And it goes way back to when I was in college, I went with get an accounting degree because, oh, that's practical, that's common sense, that will get a job. And I also got an English degree because that is what I loved. But when I graduated, I listened to what I call conventional wisdom, you know, following what we should do. And so I got a job at the IRS, and certainly there's good things to working for the government. However, it really was sucking the life out of me. I knew that I could not stay there as somebody who was young and working with all these old guys who they were counting down the years, the months, the days, the minutes until they could retire. And I thought, I cannot make this my career. So the little voice inside of me said that it's okay to not be practical, you know, that follow your heart, follow your English love, those kinds of things. So I actually saw an ad in the newspaper back when we would have classified ads looking for English as a second language instructor. So I applied. It was for a local community college here, and I got the job teaching two English classes a week. But instead of just, you know, taking the plunge and leaving the IRS behind, I was so chicken to make the break that I actually took vacation time 2 days a week so I could go teach these classes just to test the waters to see if I liked it. And I loved it. It was so different to walk into a company where they welcomed you and they were excited, oh, the English teacher is here, as opposed to when I'd walk into a company as the IRS agent and like, oh, nobody wanted to talk to me.
Sure.
So it was learning to I'm going to say, trust my gut and to take the action, even if it was scary and people thought that I was nuts to leave a cushy government job.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a huge risk.
Yeah. And once we take that risk, you know, and even the way I did it, which was sort of, you know, my little chickeny way, but it gave me the courage to say, okay, yes, I like this. And then the local college gave me more classes to teach. And then a local nonprofit needed instructors for teaching reading and teaching English. So I was able to make the break, you know, to say, okay, I'm going to leave the IRS. And at first people would say, oh, you're crazy. And then once I did it and they saw how I was loving what I was doing, then everyone was saying, oh my gosh, you're so brave. You're so brave. And even though I didn't ever feel brave. So it's just always interesting. And that has been like the progress of my life. Every time I do something, when I do feel afraid, truly, and people think I'm nuts for not following conventional wisdom, then it's always turned into, oh, you inspire me. I now am, you know, people then now start pursuing their dreams, big and small, because when we see somebody else that does it. So that has inspired me, certainly. And now, unbeknownst to me, I have found out that I, too, am inspiring other women to do the same. So that is just, you know, added bonus.
So how did you, so you're a ghostwriter as well?
Yes.
I mean, because you've written books for other people that have made the New York Times bestselling list. So how did you get into teaching ESL to into ghostwriting and making money at it?
Exactly. Because when I took the leap or the baby steps, however you want to call it, when I said, okay, I'm leaving behind my accounting brain and stepping into what really lights me up, then the opportunities just kept coming. I started teaching more and getting more and more opportunities to teach different kinds of things, and I have been writing a weekly newspaper column since May of 2001, so people knew that I was writing, and we could talk for days, but to really shrink the story down, I had an opportunity to move to the south of France. So when that came up, I had to leave behind even my English, and I started working then for the nonprofit full-time and just helping with all of their programs. And in that year away, I was not allowed to work in France. I didn't have a French visa. I also didn't have command of the language. It was my husband at the time. His job is what took us there. But I started writing more, and I just got involved in a group that were English-speaking people in France, and my writing just really just started coming alive, and I was getting published in the French Literary Review, and I was writing short stories and poetry and all kinds of things. And then when we moved back to the States, I said, I'm going to give it a go and just throw my hat in the ring to see if I can really make it as a writer. So I started freelancing, and honestly, I Googled ghostwriting companies and applied for jobs, you know, as a freelancer. And so I got my first assignment and I proved myself and then worked my way up from there. So it was all taking those little chances and saying, this is what I want to do. Let's give it a whirl. And my husband at the time gave me 1 year to see if I could make it. And if not, then, you know, I had to, like, go back and get a real job. Well, it just kept happening, and I kept getting assignments and all kinds of projects for all kinds of people. I even wrote, like rap song lyrics, which is pretty hilarious since I'm a middle-aged white woman in the Midwest, and started writing books for people. And so it just evolved. And so I actually wrote books for others as a ghostwriter before I ever wrote any of my own. And it has been perhaps an organic process of how things evolve, but it's also, I believe, it's like when we step into what really is our gift, then the universe does just say, oh, I've been waiting for you, here you go. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, people around here locally asked me to come speak on living your dreams, and so then I started teaching joy workshops of how to follow your joy. So I never set myself out there and said, oh, I'm going to, you know, become a public speaker and do this or that. It always just happened because of the way that I was living my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I heard a couple really important things that you just said. It sounds like you're definitely believing in taking those baby steps before taking that big leap and loving what you do. And then I love what you said about stepping into our gift, or what I heard was step into your passion.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so you really have to love your dream. It's one thing to have a dream, but you need to love your dream. And when you love your dream, you can live your dream. I really love that. I mean, I think that's really important to know. And I think it's really interesting that conventional wisdom just didn't steer you correctly. You needed to really follow what your heart was saying.
Yeah, and that's not always easy, you know. Certainly, I could have stayed at the IRS and made a nice living, you know. And even like, totally going off into another tangent, to end a 20-year marriage where conventional wisdom said, you're nuts, but something inside of me said, ooh, there's more, there is more. And then once I took that step, then all those same people said, oh, you're so brave, you inspire me. And now, like, even starting my own business, doing what I do now, so it's just, if we listen too much to what others, and they're well-meaning others, sometimes we can just get carried along and, okay, I'll just go along. And yet when there's that inner voice saying, there can be more, and you really can live on this, like right now my hand is just sort of going up higher in the air, where it can actually feel joyful to do what you do every day.
Well, and that's a great note. We need to take a quick break, so we need to take, that's a good note to break on. But I'd like to talk a little bit more about this whole role of entrepreneurship and what people need to know. Some great information, Kelly. But we need to take a quick break. This is DeAnda Markle, today's Inspiring Women. We'll be right back.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS Store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host DeAnda DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. DeAnda DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. DeAnda DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use DeAnda as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with DeAnda as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into today's Inspiring Women with DeAnda DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's deanne@deannedemarco.com. Now, back to today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is DeAnda Markle, today's Inspiring Women. And we are speaking to Kelly Epperson of Birth That Book. And Kelly, as an entrepreneur, what is your number one tip for entrepreneurs maybe in making decisions or in taking those baby steps?
To take a deep breath and take in the advice. I mean, I certainly have mentors and I pay big bucks for coaches. So to take in all of that from all of these people who have gone the path before us and still apply it to how does that work for you? What does your heart, your gut, that internal voice of wisdom, what is that telling you to do? So in all decisions, big and small, if you just, the number one thing you have to do is learn to trust in you.
Trust your gut. That's very, 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 very interesting. So what are some of the, I mean, didn't you have a lot of stress during this time as you were getting started into your business? And how did you deal with that stress?
Oh, yeah. I love teaching. I have a lot of stress-busting techniques based on brain science, but it helps writers bust their writer's block as well. And when I give workshops, I will pass out crayons. There is a study that shows smelling a Crayola crayon lowers our blood pressure. So people get a kick out of that, and they'll, like, you know, start smelling their crayons. But even if you just color for 2 minutes, it changes your internal chemistry, so you are calming yourself down. So if you have to pick up the phone and make a call, or you have to make a decision, or you have something going on, or just any part of your life, but simple, like, things that seem silly but also can be more joyful are really fun ways to bust stress.
Pick up a box of crayons and color for 2 minutes. I have never heard that before.
It works. Try it.
I will. I really love that. Interesting. Is there any other stress-busting tips you could give us? I love that one.
Oh, there's all kinds, and it depends on the person. Some people I will say, oh, you need to go take a walk. And some people, if they're meditators, I will tell them to meditate. Some people, I tell them to put on their pink boxing gloves and punch their punching bag. There's certainly the basics that we overlook, the eating right, getting a little bit of movement, getting some sleep, that really, really do make you have a calmer, more joyful existence and you have less stress. And people poo-poo that because, oh, we hear it a million times. But honestly, if you got more sleep, middle-aged women need 8 to 9 hours of sleep, and I don't know really anybody who sleeps that much. So little things really do make a big difference.
Huh. So move it, move it, move it, and go take a nap.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. So how do you mentor women to, you know, you talked earlier in the first segment about dealing with some of those fears. How do you mentor women in getting over their fears?
For many people, it is, we just have to step into it. And some people are baby steppers. And for me, that has worked awesome. And some people are leapers. And certainly now with what I do with writing, with books and helping people become authors is that process of stepping into that arena, putting themselves out there in that new way actually does help you bust through your fears. So for those who have no desire to write a book, even just journaling every morning, writing what you like about yourself. If you do that every day, if you can write 3 things that you admire in yourself, that can make a huge shift. You know, the more we can build our own inner confidence, the more we're able to step into our fears. I don't think our fears ever really go away. We're just able to see it and say, oh, okay, I can do this. And then you step into it.
Interesting. So part of that fear is building up your own self-confidence so you can tackle the fear. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah. For me, happiness and self-confidence go hand in hand. The more confident we get, the happier we are. The happier we are, the more self-confident we feel. And the more that we live in that space, coming from gratitude for all the things that we do have, appreciating the things about ourselves, and that, for most women, takes some effort. But if you can do that, then you're able to face the challenges that come in your business, or when you make a decision, you feel confident in it, and you know that it is right for you because you're tuning in with you and what drives you and what matters to you.
Interesting. You know, one of the questions that I have before our time is up here is, you know, what tips do you have for entrepreneurs to find clients?
Tips for entrepreneurs to find clients. You attract the most awesome people to you when you really are living from your place of passion and power. The more that I allow myself to be me, I guess is a way of putting it, mm-hmm. the more I am getting inundated with wonderful clients. I just every day say, I meet the coolest people doing the coolest stuff in the world, and I get to help them. You know, how amazing is that? So the more that you honor yourself and trust yourself and be yourself, you don't ever have to prove yourself, just be yourself, then the clients are going to say, oh, there's something in her. I think I want to talk to her. And it's, you know, the know, like, trust factor. That is when somebody wants to work with us. And how can they really get to know or like or trust you unless you're coming from your core?
Interesting. You know, so tell people what it is you do and your products and services that you provide.
Right now I am really focusing on my company called Birth That Book. And mm-hmm. it is book coaching, editing, taking people from idea stage to published author. I love helping people get that tangible book. You know, there's so many people who want to write a book and they think it's overwhelming and hard, and I take that away. I'm like, it doesn't have to be torture. It doesn't have to take forever. So just to get that book out of you, so when they have that end result, that is a thrill. And what I love even more is all the intangibles that come up when somebody births their book.
Mm-hmm.
Some people it's healing, some people it is a real confidence builder. I had a client just the other day, she said, I didn't realize how much value I add to my clients until I wrote this book. So people get all kinds of awesome ahas that come in their process of doing their book.
Hmm. And so you help people get that book printed. So most of these printings are self-published though, right?
Yes, 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 yes. I help people self-publish. We take you all the way from, if you're just thinking about a book, I get you writing, keep you writing. I'm your book coach through the process, editor, and then turn it into print book, ebook, get it out into the world.
And how do people get hold of you?
Certainly email works, kelly@kellyepperson.com.
And that's K-E-L-L-Y, E-P-P-E-R-S-O-N. So
we
Kelly,
our toll-free number is 888-637-3563, and the website is kellyepperson.com.
Kellyepperson.com, and so the phone number was 888-637-3563. Is that right?
Yes.
All right, cool. And that was Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at kellyepperson.com, E-P-P-E-R-S-O-N. So sounds... like if you need to get that book out or you have a book in you, Kelly is definitely the person to contact. Well, Kelly, I'd like to thank you for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you.
You know, and each week we try and bring you really wonderful, inspirational women to help spark your career and life growth. And as you know, every week I end with a quote in action. And the quote I'd like to end you with today is from golfer Arnold Palmer. And he said, the most rewarding things you do in life are often the ones that look like they cannot be done. And your action for this week is to see if you have ever done something that at one point you thought you couldn't do. Now notice how you felt about doing it. Until next time, this is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.